This morning, I wanted to tell you about a hobby that I've found that I enjoy and that I'm not good at, okay? I admit that, I own that, so don't come to me afterwards asking me a bunch of questions about this, because my answer to you will be, I don't know, okay? But, and this is, some of you will laugh, but I think there's a few of you in here who are going to be like, hey, I'm with you. I enjoy bird watching, okay? It's a thing, I know that's probably not what you expected me to say, is it? I got you on that one. It's something that I've enjoyed. Now, again, I'm no expert. You come up and say, well, hey, what's that bird over there? I'm going to say, I don't know. Let me look it up, right? Like, I'm going to try to figure it out, but I'm not a genius in this, but I have this app on my phone called Merlin. Anybody else have Merlin on your phone? Hey, I could talk to you, all right? We could have a good conversation. It is an app that basically it helps me identify each bird that I see. And so you can literally take a picture of the bird, and sometimes if you get a good enough quality picture, it will identify the bird based on the picture you sent in. So that's pretty neat. But even if not, there's other ways to identify through this app. It also logs for you when you saw the bird and what bird it was, and it tells you how rare it is to see that bird. So it's just a thing that I've been doing. I play disc golf as well. I don't know if you knew that about me. I love disc golf. So in the Wilco Park, they have a disc golf course there. And so I go out and I'll walk that every now and then and play. And so I've got my phone with me. And if I see a bird, I'll log the bird. And the other day I'm out playing and this bird doesn't fly by me. This bird runs by me. And I was like, what in the world is this? So I start to plug in the stuff and I'm identifying it and I'm watching it. And there was two of them. It was a roadrunner. Like a real roadrunner. And as I was looking on my phone, I heard it. It was like, meep, meep. And I was, it's true. I'm kidding. That's not true. Don't quote me. It's not the sound they make, believe it or not. Anyway, that was a big deal for me. That was the rarest bird that I found. But up until that day, the rarest bird that I had was a black-bellied whistling duck. Okay? And so I was pretty proud of my black-bellied whistling duck and all excited when it told me, hey, this is a pretty rare bird for your area. And I'm like, yes, you know? And what that did is that caused me to start looking up information and facts about ducks and geese. And there's all sorts of different things between them. One of the biggest differences between ducks and geese is that most geese migrate, most ducks don't. It's not, you know, all-encompassing for either, so don't quote me fully on that, but that was what I learned. And there's several things that were interesting to me, but one of the most fascinating things about geese was that when you notice that they're flying and they're migrating together, what shape are they flying in? It's the V shape. And believe it or not, there's purpose behind that. Did you know that geese can fly 71% farther when they fly together in that formation than they can fly on their own? That V is there for a reason. The one who is at the tip of the V is working the hardest out of all the geese in the flock. They're taking the most of that wind, and the ones behind them are benefiting from the wind resistance created from the ones at the point. And so they have a rotation. That isn't God amazing? They have a rotation, and they will, the one at the point will sub out, right, for the ones at the back, and they will work their way up the line so that each takes a short time at the front, but gets a long recovery until it's time for them to be at the front again. Together, they can fly much farther than they ever could along. And just like that's true for geese, that's true for us as well as Christians, isn't it? We can fly and conquer so much more than we ever could if we do it alone. That's why God established something called church. Church is not meant to do anything except give you relationship with others who share the same faith that you do as you move along in this journey called faith. Ecclesiastes says several things. I'll just read this portion of a famous scripture. Two are better than one. And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. But a strand of three is not easily broken. In other words, we can fly farther together than we can alone. So today, I have been asked to share on our Connect groups here at Leander Church. If you have not been attending Connect groups, if you don't even know what I'm talking about, I would encourage you to seek out some of your staff. We can help guide you into what that is. There's some information on the table in the back that tells you just a little snippet of each of the Connect groups that we have here at the church. And so if you just want to know more about individual groups, or if you want to know more about the ministry as a whole, find some of your ministers here or your elders here, and we'll help guide you to where you need to be to find the place to plug in. We would love for you to be able to experience that. One of the things I've always said is that thank you for being here. I'm glad that you're here. Thanks for watching online. But if you're sitting in the pews in this service, you have seen about this much of Leander Church. In fact, I believe that what happens on Monday through Saturday is much more important than whatever happens on Sunday. Here's why. Worship to God is so important, but our week drives the service. Our service does not drive our week. When our service drives our week, we'll fall short. But when we're living what Christ has for us Monday through Saturday, then when we show up on Sunday to celebrate and worship God for what He's been doing in our life all week long, can't you tell? That's going to be a much more powerful service than when I've checked out for a whole week and Sunday's the moment where I check back in. That's what Connect Group is attempting to help accomplish, is giving us some tools to be able to use outside of this wall to stay motivated. So today is the day. If you've not plugged in, think about it. Consider it. Check out the different groups that we have and see if there's one that sticks out to you. If you've been a part of a group for a long time, but you're interested in visiting others, but you didn't know how to take a step out without hurting people's feelings, today is a day for you to have that permission and that ability to step out and check out another group for a time. You might wind up back where you were, but you might find God is calling you to be able to help another group along, right? And so whatever that is for you, we give you that permission today. But this morning, since I've been asked to speak on Connect groups, I want to look at three important spiritual aspects that can only be found in relationship. Okay? I'm going to read you a couple of verses and then we're going to get into it. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Listen to this. The writer says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Ouch. Right? Online stream is a great thing. I'm really proud and happy for it. For those who use that when they're not able to make it, that's what it was intended for. But it was never meant to be a crutch for those who just don't want to show up. Because there are some things that you will only be able to get when you are in physical community and relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ that you can never receive through a screen. Right? There are some blessings. That's why God intended to set up His church the way that He did. It's not so that you could just tune in and get blessings, but there's a lot that you need to give into the church, and you can't give through your relationship with others through a screen. I don't mean to guilt everybody who's watching online this morning. I'm glad that you're here, but it is true. It's not a substitute for your presence. It's the ability to be able to tune in even when you can't, not when you don't want to. Let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And then Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name, by having served and by still serving all the saints." So I want to talk about three things. Number one is about encouraging. Encouraging. You see that in this text. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit, but let us encourage one another." It's almost the idea that what you're missing out on when you give up meeting together is that encouragement. It's what this text is saying. Encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, the church should be a place where everybody leaves more encouraged than when you walked in. That's how it should be, right? Because here's the thing, one of people's biggest needs, and I don't care if you're an extroverted person or an introverted person, or if you're that kind of person that's like, I just don't like people. Okay, even for you, if that's how you would describe yourself, that's fine, but in reality, you need encouragement. You don't have that choice in the matter. God has naturally designed within you a desire for connection and encouragement. And you need that. Now, some of you may be able to find that encouragement in a different way than others. Some of you may find that encouragement simply by someone looking at you and giving you a smile. Some of you might have to find that encouragement through having a long conversation with somebody and a deep connection with somebody. But regardless, whoever you are, you naturally are going to crave that encouragement. And that encouragement can only be found through relationship. Here's the deal. This is why this is important. Life has a way of discouraging us. It has a way of beating us down. And especially in today's time, as people watch the news and see what's going on in the communities that they're in, whatever it is, people are getting discouraged by things. The statistics of mental health declining and depression rates and all these kinds of things are rising right now. And so I don't know, at least within our time, that there's been a more important time for the church to step in to help others by encouraging them, by looking towards other people who are lonely and depressed and scared and anxious and overwhelmed and saying, I love you and I'm here with you and I'm here for you. It's vitally important. That's why the Hebrew writer is talking so much about this. But then there's some of those people out there who... Have you ever heard this? I've talked about it before, so I won't spend any time on it, but just mention the point here. Who say things like, well, in order to be a Christian, I don't have to go to church. You ever heard that? I don't have to go to church to be saved. Jesus is my Savior. The church isn't my Savior. Is that a true statement? Okay. I don't even want to have that conversation. To me, that's an immature question. Because you're coming at that from the wrong perspective. The approach to even ask that question shows me that you have a lot of room left to grow. Because the church was never designed to be all about you. The church was never designed to see what you can get out of it. I don't need it. Well, the church needs you. And so it's time for you to stop making excuses as to why you're going to plug out and start to say, my Savior Jesus wants me to plug in. And I need to find some ways to do that. Plus, even if you yourself don't need it, what about your family? You know, let's just not even have that argument. If you want to say that you don't need the encouragement of the church family, it's not for you, okay, but let's just not even have that. But what about your kiddos? You think it's going to be important for them to receive some encouragement and love and support from some people who love the Lord just as much as you do? What about your spouse? Whenever he or she is hurting, but I'm okay, I don't need church. What about the people around you? You see, it's important. And so, no, listen, I'm not saying this morning connect groups are the only way for you to be able to receive that encouragement. I'm not saying that's the only way it can happen, but it is the solution that our church family has attempted in addressing this need. We want to engage, right here, sharing life as a grace-filled and diverse community. We don't want to just come in and share a good lesson as a community, because are you sharing in relationship right now? You might be bonding with me in some way, but we're not really bonding much with each other. That only happens through community. It only happens as we share life together. This is a part of our vision as a church. And so connect groups is one route that Leander has given to try to be the solution to the encouragement problem in our world. That's why we do this. And that's why we think that you should be a part of it. Have you ever felt, let me shift just a bit. Have you ever felt like you've attended any church, maybe it's this one, and you feel like you're just not connecting? You ever felt that before? You ever gone into a place, it's crazy. Some of you right now, you agree with this because you feel it right now. And so it's incredible that you can sit in a room full of over 200 people and still feel lonely. And some of you, even in this room right now, that's the description for you. Even in a room full of people, you still feel alone. Well, if you are here and that's your feeling towards Leander, number one, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Really am. But number two, if you can't find the encouraging relationships you look for and you come and you say, you know what, I love what goes on Sunday mornings. I love the services, but I feel like I'm not connecting. My response to you is going to be, have you tried our connect groups? Now, here's what I hear a lot. Oh, yeah, I've tried your connect group. I went to, and they name one connect group. We don't have one connect group. Notice I said it in the plural. It's connect groups. Maybe one group wasn't exactly what you needed, or you weren't able to serve in that way. Ken, it's not all about you, but I do want you to find a place that you can be encouraged. And so I would ask you to try our connect groups. And you have not seen who Leander Church is until you are in a part of each and every home that hosts a connect group. And so if you say you haven't found the place yet, but you still have places left to search, then the search isn't over. And so it's an incomplete statement for you to say, there's just no place here for me, when you haven't tried all the places. And so, let me do that. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here for just a second. Because this is a touchy subject, but I think it's really important for us. Because I want you to be able to connect. That's what church is all about. That's why Christ died. By the way, the night before the cross, he was praying for our unity. He was praying for us to be together in relationship, just as the Father and he are one. So he wanted complete unity for us. That was his prayer before the cross, of all the things he could have prayed. So this is important. So let me say this. I've been in ministry long enough to know that there are many people who say, well, I visited your church and nobody said hi to me. Well, I went to your church and nobody visited me. You ever said that one before? I have, right? I went to church and nobody called me. And more times than not, my response is going to be, well, who did you say hi to? Who did you call? Who did you visit? Let me tell you something I read the other day. Hang with me. It's okay that everyone isn't checking on you, helping you. It's okay that everyone's not reaching out to you every day. Whatever you're desiring from other people, you be that person. Someone complained to me one time, hey, we moved into town and not one person from our church helped us move. And my response was, well, that stinks. Why don't you start a connect group that doesn't do anything except help other people as they move into the area? Raise money through your group to buy blankets, dollies, gloves, box cutters, straps, ropes, organize the loading and the unloading, buy some donuts, buy some pizza. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because see, you know what it feels like to move and not be helped. So you could be a part of a solution that says, I'm going to make sure that no one ever moves to this church and feels that way again. Folks, listen, if nobody's calling you, then it's time for you to pick up your phone and start calling others. Church is not about sitting around and hoping that somebody's going to magically begin meeting all of your needs, because church wasn't all about you. It's about others. And so your job isn't to sit around and complain. By the way, complaining is not a spiritual gift. It's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It didn't make the list. So instead of sitting around feeling sorry for yourself about what the church didn't do and how others let you down, why don't you start looking around and saying, you know what? We need a card ministry here. You know what? We need a prayer ministry here. I felt like I wasn't prayed over the way that I wish I was. And so you know what? I'm going to make sure nobody feels that way again. You want to see change within your church family. Don't sit around and say how bad the church family is. Do something about it to make a difference, to fill the gap that you see. That's what Paul talks about with spiritual giftedness, right? And how we're all members of one body, but we're all different. Somebody might not have the gift to be able to host a family and make a connect group about moving, but you love to move. You love to serve. You love to sweat. You love to work. So make that your ministry. Instead of waiting around for somebody else who might be the perfect fit for that and complain until we get there. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. It means fellowship. That's what it means. The definition of the word church is togetherness. It's fellowship. Community. And so maybe the problem with you in your perspective of the church is that, let me step on your toes one last time and then we'll move on. But maybe the problem is that you've been too wrapped up in you. Maybe the problem is that you've been too wrapped up in what you want and what you're looking for and what you want others to do for you. I hear the excuse all the time, well, Nathan, I'm too old to do that. I'm too young to do that. I'm too... Can you pick up a phone? Can you write a card? Can you say a prayer? Then God's not done with you yet. So let's get to work. One of the biggest keys to the vision of this church is having these, sharing life as a grace-filled and diverse community, right? Like having life-changing relationships. And we believe here that that best happens in houses, not in the auditorium or the sanctuary. It doesn't best happen here. It best happens out there. So let's get plugged in. One of the most immensely popular shows of our recent past is a show that was called Cheers. Anybody remember that show? Right? And it's the show that took place at a local bar. Right? And people, here's the deal. People don't go to bars to drink. You could drink at home. So why do I go to a bar to drink? Because I'm looking for some encouragement. I want to be a part of an environment that builds me up. And so people will go and drink. And in fact, those companies have a name for it now. They put a title to it and they call it what? Happy hour. Why do they do that? They provide discount drinks and they call it happy hour. Why? Because they understood that people don't need the alcohol, people need relationship. People need encouragement. And so even these secular communities have done often what the church has failed to do, and they invested, rather than in the stuff, they invested in the people, and they said, we'll give you discount drinks, and you all come out, and you can have a community of people that show up at the same time, and you can be encouraged through the relationships that are beginning to form. You see, even though alcohol can't fill the gap, they understood, well, relationships can, so then let's invest in that. Now, rather than that being a business model for a secular, worldly thing, what if we made that our business model for the church? What if we understood that people are in search and in need of encouragement and connection, and we all took ownership of that, and we didn't just sit around and say, man, I'm just so lonely and I'm just so tired. We looked at ourselves, but we started to say, what gaps can we fill at this church? Let's make Leander Church the environment where people are filling that need. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. God understands that we naturally are designed to crave encouragement, and he knows that even his own son Jesus needed to be built up in order to have the strength to do what it took. Right? God didn't just encourage him by himself. What did he do when he encouraged Jesus? He sent more people. In fact, he sent more angels. He sent a community to give Jesus the boost that he needed, right? Because there is strength found in relationships. And if Jesus needed encouragement, then I don't care who you are, you need it too. I love that phrase, build each other up. It kind of reminds me of when I played high school football. We were horrible. I've told you a little bit about them. We lost every game. I won't dwell on that. But what I'll tell you is that even though we lost almost every game, we had some of the best cheerleaders you'll ever see. Right? It didn't matter. We were down 50 points. Them girls were out there, give me a C, C, you know, and they're jumping and toe-touching. I mean, they were in it. And of course, then you had the parents of the cheerleaders who were down there like, oh, come on, guys, you know, and trying to pump up the crowd. But even though for some of us, we were just in such a miserable place and we needed so much encouragement, that couldn't lift us up. In fact, we go, come on, what do y'all have to cheer about? But they cheer anyway. You know, and they a lot of times they could get the crowd going, even though we're losing, and shift the focus onto the positive instead of the negative. It was pretty incredible. In fact, they would cheer just as hard in the first quarter as they would in the fourth quarter. Their coach, our cheerleader coach, brought the cheerleaders in and told them, hey, y'all can have a break during the football game. But you can't take your break during the first quarter or the last quarter. You got to choose second quarter or third quarter. Because the coach told them, you're most needed at the beginning and you're most needed at the end. Because she understood there's going to be some discouragement along the way. Man, what if the church, what if Leander could be like those cheerleaders were? That says, you know what? There's going to be some discouragement along the way. And no matter how bad you might be beaten in your life, there are moments, there are people in this room who walked in here right now and they are discouraged. But for those of us who are in a season of blessing right now, our job isn't to just sit around and say, God, you've been so good to me. Thanks. See you next week. Our job is to say, God, you've been so good to me. Help me to see who I can bless today. That's what church family is all about. Let me move on. Point number two. We'll get through these quick. Point number two. Number one, encouraging. Number two is spurring. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 now. It comes straight from the text. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You ever been horse riding or seen bull riders and they got the spurs on and they'll spur that animal? Why do they spur an animal? So it'll sit where it's at, right? We spur because it makes you comfortable. Is that why we spur? No, we spur for movement. We spur for motion. We spur for motivation. Anytime a spur makes contact with the skin, anytime there's some spurring going on, it's because we're trying to create momentum. It means change is coming. It means don't get complacent. I think sometimes in church, we need a little spurring, wouldn't you say? I think sometimes in our own lives, as we battle our addictions or we try to reach our goals, our spiritual goals or our emotional goals or maybe even physical goals, sometimes we need some spurring. But spurring only comes from someone else. A bull never spurs himself. That would be a sight. Right? It happens when somebody else in your life says, hey, I see where you are, but I also see where you could be. Let's go. When somebody else sees purpose that maybe you don't even see, that's what happens. See, encouragement's powerful. That's why I started there. But encouragement's not all you gather because, see, we've got to separate ourselves from happy hour, folks. Because right now, if I ended the lesson here, what's different between the church family and the bar? It's point number two, spurring. Spurring. Encouraging and spurring. Let me share you this. In 1996 Olympics, there was a woman named Carrie Strug. She was an Olympic gymnast, and she had the weight of the Olympic gold medal on her shoulders for the entire team. They were all depending on her. And all she had to do was complete one vault. Doesn't matter how pretty, doesn't matter the score. If you get over, we're in. We get the gold. But there was one problem. On her first jump, she sprained her leg so badly that she could barely walk. Now she has two jumps left. And so she gets up and she's wanting to give it her all for the U.S. team to win the gold. And she's going, her team is cheering her. And she falls and fails the vault through the pain, the excruciating pain of the leg. And she sits on the mat where she lands and she begins to weep because she knows that it's not going to be possible for her, even with one more attempt, to be able to do this. And as she's on that mat and she's crying, her coach is standing on the sidelines and he calls out to her above the noise of the crowd and he says, "Look at me, Carrie, look at me." He said, "Can you see me?" She nodded. He said, "You can do this. You can do this. I believe in you. This is what you've worked for. This is what you've trained so hard for. This is your moment. You can do this. I'm with you." And she glances up at the crowd in that moment, but her coach yells back now with all his might, and he says, "Don't look at the crowd. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. You can do this." And as she limped to get ready to try again, she could barely move, but here's what she told the interviewer after the jump. She said, "All I could do to keep going was to keep my eyes on the coach. He kept me from focusing on the crowd, and he kept me from focusing on the pain. He shifted my perspective." And she ended up completing the vault and winning the medal, but she gave all the credit to her team and to her coach for pushing her to a place she wasn't willing or able to go on her own. And she said that his motivation is what gave her the ability to jump high enough. Folks, encouragement is great, but sometimes we've got to spur one another on to jump even higher. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we've got to spur each other on to show you, "I believe in you and you can do this. Get back up and try it one more time." Because there's some people who are so discouraged this morning that you're ready to throw in the towel. But there are some of us who have been so blessed and are in a season of blessing. It's our job to look at you and say, "Don't focus on the crowd noise that Satan's trying to distract you with. You focus your eyes on Jesus, on the real coach, the author and perfecter of your faith. Amen. You tune out everything else in your life and you give this one more try today. I know you're ready to get a divorce, but you give it one more shot. I know you're ready to throw in the towel on your family, but you give them one more chance. I know that you're tired and you're ready to quit your job, but you go one more day." We're here to not just encourage each other, which is very true, but we're also here to spur one another on. But here's what we have to understand. There's a difference between community and discipleship. Okay? And yes, I want you to experience a community of people you can share life with. But if that's all we do is share life, then we haven't reached all that we want to do. Right? I want you to experience an encouraging community, but I also want you to experience a spurring community. One who can spur you to run faster and jump higher than you could on your own. A study came out from Lifeway Research during the pandemic, and here's what they found. 78% of churchgoers say that they have developed significant relationships with people at church. But only 48%, so basically half of those, say that they intentionally spend time with other believers that are helping them grow in their faith. You see, it seems there's been a trend for churchgoers to meet together but not grow together. Right? To share life together, but not to change their lives together. Right? And that's why our vision has this statement over here. The Leander Church seeks to be a people who are shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. Right? By an encouraging community who shares life together, but that's not all we do. We're growing into Jesus' image together, and that means we spur one another on sometimes. Right? You see, God did not design his church to simply just be a place to receive encouragement. If that's all it is, then that kind of defeats the purpose of the church. Okay? God didn't design his church so that you could feel better. Although encouragement is an important aspect of his church and feeling better is a part of that, it's not the only aspect of his church. If that were the case, again, you would receive the same thing from a bar that you receive from the church. And so sometimes we need to be challenged to grow together. That's what separates us, is the faith that we have. And we are on a spiritual journey together. Now, one of my biggest pet peeves is this, though. Have you ever driven around town and you see somebody who's got like a bolded red bumper sticker or something? And it's like, repent or die. You ever seen that? You know, they got some signs, they're standing on the street and it's, you know, you better repent or you know, you're going to burn or whatever it may be. And what that is it's an attempt to spur. But why doesn't that work very well? It drives me crazy because there's no relationship. I'm trying to spur people I don't know. But in order for me to believe in what you have to say, I first have to believe in who you are. And if I don't even know who you are, then I'm not ready to listen to what you have to say. That's why it's important to start out in a connect group environment and you go week after week and you say, well, what's going on? What difference am I making? You're building a relationship so that one day that person can come up to you and say, I need some help. This is what's going on in my life. And you can say, hey, Fred, I love you, but this is what you need to do. And I can help spur you on. And I didn't just hold up a street sign. No. I dug into Fred's life and I built a bond between him and I that now we have permission to spur each other into the image of Jesus. But in order for that to happen, it does. That's why I ordered this lesson, encouragement number one, spurring number two. Encouragement comes first. But if we stay in encouragement, then we're never going to become who God wants us to be as a church, which is spurring. Let me get to the last point here. Last point, number three, Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it shows us that we're not just encouraging and spurring, but we're also serving. Okay? For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name by having served and by still serving the saints. It's easy for us to sit here this morning and hear a message like this and say, well, everybody else will sign up. Right? Everybody else will do that. And that's the excuse I feel like I run into whenever I do a lesson like this is because we sit in a room full of 200 people and so you say, well, everybody else will join. They don't need me. I can't make that big of a difference in a group that's this size anyway. So what difference does it make if I join and I begin to share? You ever heard the story about the kid and his dad who go out to the ocean at high tide and all the starfish were washed up on the shore? There's thousands of them on the ocean beach, and they're all dying because they're not in the water. And the dad tells his son, he's like, hey, come over here. Let's toss some of these back. Let's save them. And so they start picking them up and flinging them back into the ocean one at a time. But the kid starts to get discouraged because he finally looks up from what they're doing. And he was happy for a moment. But when he looked up, he saw how many were on the beach. And he looked to his dad and said, Dad, why are we even doing this? What good are we doing? We can't save all these starfish. He said, we're not even making that big of a difference. And his dad picked up one more starfish, flung it back into the ocean, and looked at him and said, well, it made a difference for that one. That's a great perspective, folks. You might not be able to change everybody, but you can change one person today. You might not be able to encourage every single person in this room, but you can find one in this room that you can encourage. And if we all took that responsibility, imagine what great things we could do. I mean, it's a pretty simple concept, right? If you're driving on the side of the road and you see somebody stuck there and you just drive by and say, well, somebody else will help them. If everybody did that, then nobody would be helped. Somebody has to be willing to get out of the comfort of their own car and step into the uncomfortable, broken situation of somebody else's life. And until we learn to serve that way, the church will never be what it was meant to be. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And then he says, follow me. I have much more to say. I've realized I've way over-prepared this. So what I'm going to do, this is important, though. But let me tell you something. Thank you, Crystal. I love you. Let me tell you, though. Why does all this matter? Let me give you the so what, right? I've told you a bunch of stuff. So what? Here it is. Because we're a family. Amen. We're a family. God says, I adopted you into my family. And this is what families do. I always love this passage. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Careful who you sit next to. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. Three times in three verses, Paul says, brothers. I think there's some emphasis there, don't you? He's trying to drive home the point that we are family. And when family is together, we fight for each other. We encourage one another, we spur one another, and we serve one another. That's what we do in the church. And no, Connect Groups is not the only place for that to happen. But it is a place in which Leander has designed to begin to do some of these things. That's why you should be involved, right? Let me end with this. In Iowa, there was a major storm that flooded out a major city a long time ago. And people were gathering to save all the things that they could, all the stuff. And one of the policemen there reported that he saw something that touched his heart one day. He saw a little boy who was struggling so much because he was carrying another even smaller boy on his shoulders, barefooted, walking through the streets of this flooded city, carrying all the goods that he could in one hand and all the luggage in another, and had even more stuff that he was balancing. The policeman said it was like a balancing act, and this kid was straining with the pressure to take each step. And the policeman walks up wanting to help and comes up to the boy and says, "Son, that's too much. That's too much stuff. You can't carry all of that stuff. That is too heavy." And the boy looked back at the policeman and said, "That's not too heavy. That's my brother." The policeman said he never forgot that. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's pretty good. You see, there might be some things that are too heavy to carry until you realize the relationship with the one of whom you're carrying. When you realize that we are all brothers and sisters through Christ, I'm ready to carry any burden that you need, and I pray that you're ready to carry mine too. We are a family, and that's why Connect Groups matter. That's why working in the pantry matters. That's why signing up for VBS matters. That's why Celebrate Recovery matters. That's why this Sunday matters, is because we're a family. Folks, if you felt lonely, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that you do need encouragement. I know that whether or not you want it, you need spurring. And I know that we all need serving and to be those who give that service to others, right? We all need that. And so no matter who you are, if you felt lonely, if you felt discouraged and you felt alone, I pray that you don't walk out of here feeling that way, but that you'll come forward and be a part of a bigger family right now as together we stand and sing.